All right, good morning, brothers and sisters. We're going to go ahead and get started with Sunday school. If you want to grab a seat, settle in. All right, good morning, everybody. How you doing today? It's good to see all of you this morning. So for those of you who don't know me, my name's Max Honer, and I'm part of the counseling team here at GCF. And so we're taking a break this week from our series through systematic theology to do a counseling, a Sunday school on counseling. So I'm going to go ahead and pray for our time together about that, ask for the Lord's help. Heavenly Father, thank you so very much for this morning. Thank you for every person in this room and every person who will come into our building today, Lord. We just are very blessed and privileged to be able to gather together in your house and worship you today. And so I lift every one of us up to you, and that is what I ask for, is that our focus in our hearts, all of our hearts, would be on worshiping you, that we would not be distracted, but that we would be looking to you, remembering all that you've done for us and worshiping you, Lord. And I pray that for this time, for this next hour or so that we are in adult Sunday school together, and for the kids too, please bless their classes. But I lift up our time to you and ask that you would bless it, that you would work through it. Help me be very humble and just pray that your Holy Spirit would be very active and present in this time, and that we would understand a little bit more who you are and how much you love us and the power you give us through this discussion, Lord. So please bless it to your glory. Thank you for it. Help us to do all that we do this morning and in our lives for your glory, not our own, Lord. Through Jesus, I pray, to bring you glory. Amen. So once again, my name is Max Honer, and I'm part of the biblical counseling team here at GCF Central. For a few years now, we've periodically taken two or three breaks during the Sunday school series to have Sunday school specifically on counseling, and we've covered different things over the years, trying to just disseminate some of the knowledge that we on the counseling team have gained through our studies to be trained as counselors out to the rest of the church, because really, we're all doing counseling all the time. You know, I think when we hear the word counseling, people think of it, or can tend to think of it sometimes, as a very specialized field, and certainly people have had lots of training, especially professional counselors, so I don't want to diminish that at all, but all of us do counseling in our community groups and our discipleships. There's going to be, I believe, some really awesome counseling that happens this morning when you have conversations with each other, and I really believe the Holy Spirit helps us all to do that each week as we interact with each other. So just an opportunity to talk a little bit more about some of the things those of us on the counseling team have learned over the years with the whole church. And as I was thinking through and praying about what to cover this year and talk to the elders about it a little bit, we thought a topical series would be good. So probably do this maybe 2, 3, 4 times, somewhere in that range this year, and cover different topics. So today, you know, topics that people come in and ask for counseling for. So today we're going to talk about anxiety. And then, it seemed like that would be a timely one. But I wanted to just show you this real quick. So at GCF, we call counseling soul care. It's just a little less of a clinical sounding term, and that's really what it is caring for people's souls. But if you would like, my point right now is if you would like to request counseling, this is how you do it. So just go to our website, which is just gcfspokane.org. Go to ministries, and it's actually just the second one down. And then you can see how quick and easy this is to fill out. And then I'll get that email, and we'll be able to coordinate and set you up with a counselor. I also wanted to share some resources with you that we have in the bookstore and that I'll primarily be teaching from today. So these are a series called 31-Day Devotionals for Life. And I have the anxiety one right here so you can see it. But there's a bunch of these, probably 20 or 30 of them total in the series, somewhere in that range, that cover, as you can see, a variety of topics. These ones, contentment, depression, perfectionism, those just came out, and I'm really excited that they have volumes on those now. But there's also ones we have in the bookstore on addictions, anger, healing from a painful past, shame, other similar topics. So if any of those things speak to something that you might be going through or that you might feel like you really need the Lord to minister to you in that area, these are just very rooted in Scripture. They use just a ton of Scripture. It's all rooted in Scripture. And then, as you'll see when I talk about anxiety today, they also have really practical applications. So if you read it each day, you can read it in a month. And it's designed to be during your devotional time. So it can maybe take you 5 minutes or even less to read it. But then there's little applications at the end of it that ask you to pray a certain way or look at a certain verse or journal something. So you could end up spending much more time on that. And that could really be just a great counseling session between you and the Lord. So I just wanted to make that recommendation. And also note that I always like to just say where my information comes from. So pretty much everything I'm teaching today is from this devotional on anxiety, and then Scripture, obviously. Those are my sources. I also want to just say real quickly before we dive all the way in that we also do a soul care discipleship for folks who have been going to the church usually for at least a year and already taken part in a year in the regular discipleship track. And it's just a one-year kind of counseling for the whole church, for anyone who's interested to gain more information about counseling, kind of go in depth with the things I'm talking about today, but in greater depth. So I'll mention that again more in the spring, but I just wanted to real quickly share that this is our second year doing that, and I've been very, very blessed by both the groups of men I've been with, and then we have my wife and a couple of women's groups, actually. So it's open to both men and women in different groups, but just really blessed by being able to interact with the men in my soul care groups the last couple of years. And this year I'm in a group with Bob Rushing and Ryan Hathaway that's just been incredible so far, though my group was incredible last year too. And through the month of September, we read this anxiety devotional. So I just wanted to share that our conversations have actually shaped this Sunday school quite a bit. But here's what we're going to cover today. So the word transformation. When someone comes in for counseling, they're usually seeking to change, grow in some way. They're looking for transformation. How does that happen? Obviously through the power of the Holy Spirit, but it doesn't happen right away, and it's a long, slow process. So my goal today is to try to help paint a picture of how through the course of a counseling process you eventually get to that point. And a lot of times when we come in for counseling, myself included, we want our circumstances to change, but that's many times, I would say most of the time, not God's plan, but it's more about how he changes us through our circumstances. So we're going to try to define anxiety, and then we'll look at some scriptures that really apply. And through those scriptures, like I said, talking about how transformation happens will be our end goal. And then at the very end, we'll look at a case study and hopefully have time to pray. So what is anxiety? And I want to just start by asking the room, like, what do you think? How would some of you, I would say we've all experienced anxiety at some point in our lives. So how would you describe anxiety in your words? Unnecessary worry. That's great. Departure from trusting God. Hopelessness. Helplessness. Okay. Yeah.
Also the anticipation of bad things happening.
I feel like it kind of boiled down to fear.
Yep.
It's kind of tame version of fear.
And fear I see is like a connecting thread running through all those comments everyone just made. Unnecessary worry, helplessness. Those are all, it's like you guys have read this book. It's awesome. Some of the ways the author describes it is, it's certainly an emotion, but it's more than that. It's also a physical reaction, but more than that too. And then he uses these two words. So this is the Greek from the New Testament, and he says that this word, I'm not going to try to pronounce them, means care, and this other one means to draw in different directions or basically distract. So then to be anxious is to have a distracting care. So like what several people said, right? Like Bill said an unnecessary care, and then Chris said not trusting the Lord. So basically having a care that pulls your attention away from the Lord and away from trusting the Lord. Our worries exert great effort to keep our vision fixed on the horizontal, the things of the world, instead of on the vertical, the things of God. So here's some scripture passages where that idea comes from, and on the next slide, we're going to look at Matthew 6:25-34, which it might be the most famous verse in the New Testament that uses the word anxiety. But just taking a minute to let this idea soak in, that the vertical should be our focus, the horizontal often tends to be our focus. How am I going to pay this bill? How is this relationship going to get better? It's going so terribly right now. When the vertical should be our focus. So the things that distract us and pull us away from the vertical are the horizontal things. But here's this verse I mentioned from Matthew, and I don't have quite the full thing on there for the sake of time, but you know, we'll get the gist. Would someone be willing to read this out loud for us, since I'm going to be talking a lot this morning? Thanks, John.
Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? But see first the kingdom of God, things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble.
Thank you, brother, for reading that. Okay, so we've probably all read these verses many times, but I just think meditating on them for a few minutes would be so helpful. So if we're thinking of that definition I just gave of anxiety as a distracting care, how could these verses be helpful to us? So what Jesus is telling us here helps pull us back toward looking at God, back to looking at the vertical instead of the horizontal. That's a good illustration.
Do you think there's any significance in
Yeah, I think that's really good too, all really good comments, but that's a great point, right? I mean, I don't think the goal is to get rid of anxiety, right? It's more the question is always, how do we live in a godly way that brings God glory? And certainly planning, you know, is something he calls us to do. And his word has a lot of wisdom about that, but trusting in him, depending on him, and we can worry about tomorrow to the point where it becomes a distracting care, and we're not trusting in him for tomorrow.
So I wonder if, I'm just trying to think of a ladder of words. So would uncertainty be perhaps a space in which we can live faithfully? Because we live in an uncertain world, there's a lot of things you don't know, and so when you wake up and you go to work, like Chris said, you might be thinking about those things, like, I'm not sure what's going to happen or whatever. That uncertainty
Yeah, that's good. I think learning to live in uncertainty that's just a really good way to describe, like, how to live and work through our anxiety in a godly way. That's, like, for my own struggles with this, that's where, like, I would just love if everything was certain, right? If I knew exactly what was going to happen. And that sounds kind of funny, but that's really the way my mind works. And so I think as I've grown, you know, a little bit over the years, as many things the Lord has used to sanctify me, I've learned, I've got to just become more comfortable trusting in him during the uncertainty. Yeah. So I think, just like Jim said, Scripture is so important, and like John said, this reminds us what our foundation is. So whether it's yesterday, today, tomorrow, being rooted in who we are in Christ, and looking at how, like, these verses really tell us how much God loves us. And like John said, probably the biggest thing we could worry about would be death, right? And that's already taken care of that. So if he takes care of the birds and the flowers, he's going to take care of our every need. And we might have a different idea of, like, what meeting that need would look like. We probably have a way we would prefer it would be met, but we can trust that what our every need is, he's going to meet those. So with a definition now of anxiety as a distracting care in mind, I want to just keep looking at Scripture, right? Because, I mean, that's the best place to go. And so this is maybe the next most famous passage on anxiety. I know I've met little kids at my kids' co-op who have this verse memorized, so it's pretty famous. But we're going to look at these two. It's basically one passage, but I've broken them up here because we're going to look at two ideas, one with the first passage and then one with the second passage. So we'll go into kind of more detail breaking these down on the next slides. But again, would someone be willing to read this passage from Philippians for us? Thanks.
Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.
Yeah, please.
Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you.
Thanks, Lisa. Yeah, amen. Great verses. So Again, just same question. How could these verses be helpful to someone struggling with anxiety? Yeah, that's excellent. Yeah.
So I'm wondering too if maybe this care and anxiety, this distracting care, is often fixated on temporal and worldly concerns and not spiritual things, right? Because we should have concerns about spiritual things, and oftentimes my eyes are drawn away from the spiritual reality. So I think these scriptures kind of seem to help me to lift my eyes above my circumstances, which I am tempted to be engrossed in, or it depends. It could be distracted by or even obsessed with, but circumstances as opposed to deep, eternal realities that are all around me but might be unseen.
Yeah, that's good.
So those are really good points, that a lot of times our anxieties are lying to us. It's an anticipation of a hypothetical suffering that may not happen, so it's a waste of time. But there are also times where you have anxiety because you're anticipating suffering is likely to come right now. And so it's not always a lie you're thinking about. And that reminds me of a woman we went to church with here, who had a lot of home births. And when she would go to make her room for the home birth, she put up on her wall a sign that says, God has already taken care of your greatest problem. She wasn't anticipating that verse making it a pain-free or a consequence-free delivery, because that time, there's so much out of your control, and you're in it either way. Yeah. So there's real reason to have fear and anticipate suffering. And that verse wasn't denying that those things were coming, but it was helping her rest in who God is, kind of like the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Like, God can save me from the furnace, but if he doesn't, he's still a good God. And that's where the rejoicing can come in. It's not always a lie that we're anticipating with anxiety, but we can still push that and say, maybe I'm going to get burned up here, but my God is still a good God. This will have his purposes at the end of it.
Yeah, even if our circumstances don't change or that worst case scenario thing happens, God is still who he is and what he's done and what is true about me because of what he's done is still true. Yeah, there's probably certain verses that are dear and special to each of us that this, the things we've been through and experienced really speak to how we might struggle with this. So that's a great example. I saw more people putting their hands up. Yeah. Yeah, like connecting back to Jim's idea about gratitude, right? Yeah, that's really good. Yeah.
I appreciate that you put these verses together because what struck me as we read them, going with what Sarah was saying, like verse 5 feels, it struck me again as feeling so out of place. Like, yeah. Where does reasonableness have to do with this stuff? Because like, reasonableness seems like proper. I was looking at the definition. So reasonableness is of sound judgment or reason.
Yeah.
It says, Webster says, it's sufficient ground of explanation or of logical defense. And the statement following that is the Lord. So Sarah, like what you're saying, and you look at verse 8, like you're thinking about who God is. And so then you think about what Proverbs says with wisdom comes from the fear of the Lord. So why should we rejoice? Why should we not be anxious? The tie is reasonableness. Reasonableness is a logical, sound judgment in who God is. Mm. What a grounding that is. Like, it's not a pick yourself up and just, like, think on what is good. It's actually submit to the Lord, know who he is, and, yeah, like, get through it by knowing that he's in control, whether good or bad comes.
Yeah, that's really good. Thank you for looking that up, Alan, because... Yeah, I feel like I could be reading through the scripture, like doing my daily reading and come here and read the word reasonableness, but like, oh, that seems kind of an odd word for there, and just keep going and just move on. So it's good to dwell there, meditate there for a minute, and just, I love that idea of sound judgment and just really, like it says in the next verse, knowing who God is and what's true about him. Like we've been saying all morning, that being the foundation. So that's just super helpful, and the way you also said that about, like, I mean, we could almost kind of think of, like, white-knuckling our way through our anxiety, right? And just kind of, I'm going to be okay, and just powering through, and that's not the same thing as really trusting and resting in the Lord, which is what I think these verses are commanding us, moving us to do by reminding us who he is and what's true about him. So, yeah, these, yeah. Yeah.
I mentioned, I was listening yesterday to the Gospel Bound podcast. They were interviewing Pastor Mark Brokaw about his book about waiting on the Lord. And he was talking in the podcast about how he was in a counseling session and the counselor asked him, you know, what are your expectations?
Yeah, yeah, that's good, yeah. Well, I think like Alan's definition of reasonableness of like the way you're describing it, like if we have anxiety to the point where it, like it's a distracting care, like we talked about earlier, we in those moments when we're struggling that way might not seem reasonable, right? Like we might not seem like we have sound judgment because maybe we're not looking at that thing with sound judgment. But the way those circumstances, the way we respond to them in anxiety, you just show what the desires and cares of our hearts are and what we're trusting. And so that's what I'm hoping to do on the next couple of slides, is to kind of show how we kind of work through that and kind of get to this point where maybe we're using that reasonableness and trusting in the Lord in a way we weren't trusting in Him before. That encourage the faint-hearted. That seems great. So just real quickly sum up, because there were so many good comments, I want to quickly try to tie them all together. Just this idea that there's like a myth or a fog or something out there that we're believing, or like Sarah said, we're anticipating a hypothetical suffering. And so starting this sequence here, like Mandy said, starting with what is true, right? And that, and then going from there. I think that's a good way to sum up how meditating on these verses can speak to our hearts and help our hearts when we're struggling with anxiety. So what we're going to do now, keep those in the back of your mind, is look at first 4-7 and then 8-9. And a lot of the things you all have said will come up as I go on these slides, because you were all really dialed in with those verses and just how they speak to our hearts about anxiety. But these are from two specific days in the devotional that where he does an exegesis of these verses, and then trying to choose what to put in this lesson for Sunday school today. Like, I mean, just everything is so helpful in this book. And one of the devotional days in it, right around the two I picked to look at here, is cultivate an attitude of gratitude. So going back to what several people said about gratitude, I think is so important too. But this is the question we're trying to answer here. How do we find peace through prayer? Because I think, like several people said, prayer obviously so very important. That's us talking to God. But like Bill was getting at, how do we get there? How do we get to what we're describing? Like, it's not just like you have anxiety, you look at these verses, and then you're fine, right? So what does that process look like? What's so important about prayer, right? That verse says if we make our petitions and supplications to God, His peace and understanding will guard our hearts. And God already knows, you know, everything, right? He's known it all from the beginning of time, because He planned it. It's His. And so we don't need to talk to Him to tell Him what we're anxious about, but by expressing that to Him in our words, then we're showing our dependence and humility by saying, this is what I'm worried about, and talking to Him about it. We're showing that we're dependent on Him. We can't work it out ourselves. And then this author in the devotional goes through three qualities of inner peace. Like, that's what we're seeking, right? If we're struggling with anxiety, we're seeking peace. And that verses 4-7, right, say then the peace and understanding of God will guard your hearts and minds. So that sounds so nice, right? So what does that peace look like? So the author, his name's Tauchus, he's trying to paint a picture of that for us, and he has three qualities here. So the scripture says that the peace he's talking about here in verse 7 surpasses all understanding, and so the author calls it an indescribable calm, meaning it can only come from God, right? Like we were saying, we can't white-knuckle our way there to it. It surpasses all understanding because to us it's supernatural. It can only come from God. And then it protects emotional and mental stability. And so if we think about what these scriptures say and what the other truths we know, the other scriptures that are helpful to us, the author tries to paint a picture of what this could really be. And he says, think of God dispatching a garrison of armed warriors to surround and protect our inner person. So just, you know, as if you're praying through these scriptures, if you're thinking of, you know, trying to talk to God about your anxiety, you know, just envisioning this of God loves us so much. It's like he's putting a suit of armor around us to protect us from the things we worry about. He can, he will do that for us if we have that dependence and humility, if we ask him for that help. And then his third point here about this special inner peace is that it belongs to believers only. So it can and only will come from Jesus. His peace can reign in our hearts. I mean, the things we're worrying about are real. They're important. And so we need supernatural help. Like, that's the only place it can come from. And this is a really important part to kind of expand on that last idea. The peace of God comes only from being at peace with God, right? So we talked about it being a distracting care, maybe something that we're not trusting the Lord with. It's distracting us in a way that we're more focused on that horizontal, those circumstances, than on the Lord himself. And so that means we're not at peace with God, right? There's some kind of disconnect there between us and the Lord. And so, you know, that's what we have to work through. Like, I loved what Chris said a few minutes ago about there's things we can change and things we can't change, or things we can control and that we can't control. And so we can't control our circumstances, right? Usually the things that are causing our anxiety are the things we can't control. But we can control how we respond, and we can control, you know, whether we're looking up to the Lord or not, lifting our eyes, like someone said. And so we can go to the Lord and pray and fight for and wrestle for that peace. And then when we put our eyes back on the vertical like that, then that peace, this supernatural peace that can only come from the Lord to believers, will come to us. But we can't just wait around and say, I hope, you know, I'm a Christian, so I believe, I hope the peace of God will come to me. It doesn't just happen. We have to fight for it, wrestle for it. So I just, maybe before we move on to the next slide, have time for a couple minutes, quick questions or comments here on what we just talked about. But with the idea, breaking down that last point, which I think is the most important one here, how does being at peace with God lead to the experience of peace, lead to experiencing the peace of God?
Pray like David. Praise God that we have a God.
Yeah, praise God. And he will meet every one of our needs. Yeah.
I think really simply, the Holy Spirit's on that level. Meet him every moment of every day. And that's what makes Christianity exciting to me. And you can read 2 Kings chapter 3 and see a really vivid example of that.
Yeah, amen. And thinking about, you know, what we know, again, from the scriptures God has done, like, raising Jesus from the dead, right? So, like, that, like Jim is saying, that power is available to us. But I think what verses 4 and 7 are getting at is he really wants us to ask for it, right? To ask for that help, and then he will give it to us. Yeah. Yeah.
Experiencing more anxiety than probably any human in history. And yet, you know, he prays, Father, if it be thy will, take this cup, let it pass from me. Nevertheless, thy will be done, you know. And he went through the cross. So it's amazing how he handled it, you know, managed it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's tremendous. Just one of my all-time just favorite parts of all of Scripture because, right, we'd be so wrong to think that, I mean, Jesus has experienced everything we can struggle with. He knows our every pain, our every worry, but so to think that, I mean, to think that he didn't experience anxiety, right? He experienced it probably more than any of us ever will, so we have his example of how finding peace through prayer, right? How by talking to his Father, you know, he worked through the biggest anxiety ever. So, yeah, amen. That's a great one. So this is the other part of the devotional I wanted to look at that works through verses 8 and 9. And it's funny, the title of that day in the devotional is Think Positive, which it's just kind of a funny title to me because sometimes we just think positive. But what he means is what we were talking about earlier when we first looked at the passage was, you know, putting our mind on the things of God in. So I was just blown away reading this. I've actually read this a few times, but reading it last month, I think the third time I've read through this devotional, like this just struck me in a way it never has before. So I wanted to put it on the screen. And like we said earlier, starting with truth in verse 8 and working through there, this is a process. Anxiety has so much to do with our thoughts, right? That mental myth, that mental fog. And so this is a very sequential sequence here. That's redundant, but a cause and effect in how we can put off the old thoughts, the distracting cares, and put on the new thoughts, the truths and the things of God. And so it looks like a lot of text, but it's actually very quick. Would someone be willing to read? You can skip the scripture references, but just be willing to read this for us. Yeah, thanks, Matt.
Prior to being born again, your way of thinking was futile and your understanding darkened. At the new birth, you received the Holy Spirit who knows the mind of God. The Spirit thus revealed God's thoughts to you through the scriptures. As a new creature in Christ, you are personally responsible to put off the old self, which includes your natural way of thinking, and to be renewed in the spirit of your mind. As you renew your mind with scriptural truth, your life is transformed, which results in your fulfilling the will of God.
Yeah. Thank you. So yeah, this is where we get to that word transformation that I said was kind of our goal for this Sunday school of how does change actually happen? And I think we have it spelled out for us here where we go to the Word and we put off our old ways of thinking that we had before we were believers, and then we put on these new ways of thinking. And I just loved this one here. Like, we know the scriptures are, you know, the inerrant, perfect Word of God, but I just never had anyone, I guess, quite explain it to me this way, that since God basically wrote the Bible, though it's God's thoughts, it's what God is thinking. And I don't know about you, but one of my biggest battles that I fight is intrusive, unwanted thoughts. And so just remembering that the scriptures are God's words, they're also God's thoughts. And then I think it's 1 Corinthians 2:11 there is the one that, or it's the end of 1 Corinthians 2, that we have the mind of Christ. Now that we're Christians, which is, it was just is an incredible thing to think about for a minute. But those are my reactions. What are some of your reactions to seeing the way this author outlines this here?
What it doesn't give is you're responsible for defining what positive is,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to we are going further, that we are thinking of knowing who God is, and that's where transformation happens.
Yeah, that's really good, right? That's a great way to just sum it all up, knowing God, yeah. Yeah, exactly. It influences how we think, right? That's perfect. Yeah. So, and I like what you're saying. Think scripturally, right? And then when you apply that to the title, like Alan was saying, like that's what thinking positive should be for us, right? So, yeah, I like that use of it. And when we think of like think positive or what would be positive in transformation, we often think of hopefully God will transform my circumstances. Hopefully He'll change this thing that's causing me anxiety, but the end point, like if you follow this cause and effect chain here, the end point is which results in your fulfilling the will of God, right? So going back to the Garden of Gethsemane and, you know, please take this cup away, but if not, you know, I'll do your will. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I really agree, the new man and the old man. I think that's really what point four is speaking about, right? Like we receive the new birth, we receive the Holy Spirit, like we talked about earlier. And so it's right there for us. We just like, God has put the clothes right there for us. We just have to put them on. But there is that piece where we are personally responsible to put off the old self, right? And that's really important. So, Lord, please help me to think the way you think. When we're looking at this scripture 8 to 9, it says, you know, if it says, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, He's commanding us there. And then Paul commands us, this is Paul writing in Philippians here, to set our minds on the redemptive qualities that are vital to Christ-like thinking. And really what I'm getting at here with those last couple, so this is something we're commanded to do, but with that previous comment that these virtues that we're describing here are fulfilled perfectly in Christ. So Christ has already done all of these things. So we have our example, but we also have Him, the Lord Father, seeing us the way He sees Christ. So when we're reading Scripture and praying and working through these things, you know, we can look to how Christ fulfilled each of these things and ask Him to help us put that on. Because like we just said, He's already given us this. Just for the sake of time, because we've got about, I think, 7 or 8 minutes left, or a little less than that. For me, for my way of thinking through things, I love being able to see the cause and effect here. So I just made a slide with kind of quick words to sum this up. It starts with the old self before we're Christians. New birth gives us the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit gives us the Scripture, which are God's thoughts. Scripture leads to the renewing of the mind, which is where we have the responsibility to put off the old self. And then renewing the mind leads to transformation. So just like a key word to try to sum up each of those statements a little shorter, although they're already very succinct to begin with, which I like, to just kind of help us remember, right? Old self, new birth, Holy Spirit, Scripture, renewing the mind, transformation. Like that's the sequence. So sorry to move kind of quickly there. These are a couple of applications. So the reason I put these pictures on here is because rather than just me typing up His words, I think the words are so good, but then to show you these devotionals, like I said, you can see they're very short. Like here's day 18 or day 17, it's just 2 pages. And then at the bottom, there's these applications. So these are some of these applications. And one would be to write out a care list and a prayer list. So a care list would be everything you're worrying about, and then a prayer list would be the prayer, what you say to God about that. So like journaling our prayers, which is probably something many of us are familiar with or even do. I should do it more, but having that contrasting, this is, you know, maybe the finances, this difficult relationship, you know, whatever your kind of earthly horizontal cares are on one side, and then on the other side, what you're saying to the Lord. And then this other one is a think positive chart, so kind of another thing you can write out or journal, but you'd have your negative thoughts, the thoughts you want to take captive in one column. And then in column 2, you would have the attributes of God's character. So again, the juxtaposition of what is probably false, or that is distracting me, that's intruding on my mind. And then in the second column, what we know is true about God. And then an outflowing of that. I should have drawn a picture of this, but an outflowing in the third column of, if this is what I'm believing that's false or distracting or is intruding, this is what's true about God. Then in the third column, what is the outflowing, the outworking of that? What is actually true because of what God has done? So like you could have in column 1, I'm worrying about how I'm going to pay this bill. In column 2, you could have God cares about the birds and the flowers. He cares even more about me. Then in the third column, God has and will meet every need I have through his perfect wisdom. And just very quickly, reminding us, anxiety distracts us with these temporal, earthly, horizontal cares. Jesus reminds you to keep eternal matters central, and that's how those earlier verses from Matthew can really help us. Isaiah 26:3, he's talking about the Lord here. Keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. So God keeps the person whose mind is focused on him in perfect peace. And there, again, just reminding that application point from earlier that if you confess your anxieties to the Lord, if you show that dependence on him, that humility through prayer, he will. But that was that verses 4-7 of Philippians 4, that he will put that guard around your heart, that indescribable peace. peace that comes from him. So I wanted to do like a case study, but this was just, I thought, I'm so grateful. This was such an absolutely amazing Sunday school. There were so many good comments. I just love hearing from all of you. So I think maybe just we have time for maybe two or three quick comments of like everything you've heard this morning. If you're, say, having a conversation with someone later, either in home group, community group, maybe this morning in the hallway, or you get coffee with a friend this week, whatever, what is maybe something from today that you would now share with that person? Or if the person says, I'm really worrying about my kids doing well in school, or if they're Christians, or I'm really worried about the election, or I'm really worried about fill in the blank, what might be something you would say to that person now? Hey. Amen, yeah. Yeah, that's a good, yeah. But yeah, I love that comment because I think as someone who, like, primarily the way I serve the church is through biblical counseling, like, it can be easy to get caught up in the idea of people helping people, right? That's just a real easy on both sides for that to happen. So just remembering that our help comes from the Lord, from the Holy Spirit, yeah. He's the great counselor, yeah.
Mm-hmm. He's really concerned about people and their destiny. But when he's talking, you know, there's Stoic philosophers there who, you know, they're like, hey man, just deny the feelings. I'm thinking nowadays you can maybe get into Buddhism or whatever. There's people lean that way and just say, you know, you're suffering out there, just try to empty your mind. Mm-hmm. Or deny the fact that you feel a certain way and just, you know, pretend it's not there. That's not helpful. And then you got the Epicureans that Paul was talking to as well.
Yeah, yeah, I think that's always, like, first step, right? Coming alongside them, because that's what Jesus did for us, right? He came in to this world when he didn't have to. And I really like that Acts 17 reference, because we can't just get rid of our feelings or just ignore the suffering. Like, God has given us these things. They wouldn't be in our lives if he didn't want them there. So just trying to empty them, like, I'm just not going to worry about this, is the wrong thing. He's putting in our lives to bring us to him, to get us to depend on him, to humble ourselves before him and say, I need you, Lord. I don't know what to do. I need you. And then we grow in relationship with him. So, yeah, we emptying ourselves doesn't work. Yeah, amen. I love that. That's great. Summing it up. Moving from a distracting care to a prayerful care, and we need the Holy Spirit and Scripture to help us do that. Yeah. Yeah, that's really good. Yeah. So, yeah, thank you, everyone, for being here this morning. I'm just going to pray very quickly to close us out. Lord, thank you so much for this morning. I pray for all of us that our hearts would just be resting in you, trusting in you, that we would bring every care to you and cast it on you, because you can carry it all. You already carried the sins of all Christians to the cross, and you are a most wonderful counselor. So I just pray that we would bring everything to you and humility and ask you for help, and I pray that we could be a help to others, to our brothers and sisters, and to others that we meet and interact with just by sharing who you are and what you've done for us and how we trust in you. And I pray that you would help the pastors and the worship team and the nursery workers and everyone serving this morning, Lord, have our hearts focused on you, worshiping you. I pray that new people would come through the doors and put their trust and faith in you. Thank you for this morning. Thank you for the ability to gather. Please bless it all to your glory, Lord. Through Jesus we pray. Amen.